morning. It is 9 a.m. It is November 14th, 2017. This is a regular commissioner's court. We're in the second floor of Brooks County Courtroom, Brooks County Courthouse. This is an open meeting. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
No, he's not.
He's not going to be here. All right. Begin with roll call.
Gloria Garza, County Commissioner, Precinct 1.
Vincent Vargas, County Commissioner, Precinct 2.
Armando Olivares, Brooks County Commissioner, Precinct 3.
Precinct 4 Commissioner will not be in today. Antonio Martinez. I am Brooks County Judge Imelda Barrera, along with the Brooks County Auditor's Office on each end, and also with the County Clerk's Office. Let us begin with public comments. At this time, we're taking any public comments. Come on up, sir. Mr. Perez, welcome.
Hello, everyone. My name is Enrique, better known as Henry Perez. Most of the people from here know it's Henry Perez, so here I am. Thank you, Your Honor, our judge, for giving me the opportunity to express my thoughts and feelings at this time.
Thank you.
And I want to speak about the situation over in Southern Brooks, our community over there. And I want to express my thoughts and feelings toward the situation of Southern Brooks in our county. Recently, there was a fence built around our county substation in Encino, and this fence that was built there, it was very poorly built. It has pivot rusted pipes on there. And to you, the commission, if this is how you value our tax money, we deserve better than that. This fence should have been built with 6 feet galvanized pipe, 2-inch diameter, heavy gauge type, the heavy duty type pipe, and not with this kind of fence. It looked like a cemetery fence to me, if you ask me, because it is terribly built. And I feel like we deserve better there than the fence that was built there. Then, as of last commissioner's meeting, Mr. Villarreal was here, in which you all voted to cut his hours from 28 hours to 10 hours, which I think it should have given him extra hours, because there's a lot of trash over there and a lot of things that need to be done. I went there Sunday before last, and there was a lot of trash around that little park there on 755. I mean, it was overflowing. The 55 barrel can didn't have a bottom on it. I mean, that is really, you know, it shouldn't be that way. Mr. Verdian had been working for 6 years for the county and was never provided with a company vehicle. He was using his personal vehicle. I don't think that's right or not. It wasn't fair, and it's up to him to claim that. But I talked to him, he said for 6 years, or more or less, right, that he working for the county and was never provided a company vehicle. He used his personal vehicle. That, to me, that's embarrassing and insult to Mr. Villarreal and also to our community of Southern Brooks. Things need to change and get better there. We need to get things done differently. We don't forget us. We're still there. We're still part of Southern Brooks. We're not yet part, or hopefully it doesn't happen that way, or whatever. You never know in the future the way things are going. We're not part of our neighbor county. We're still in Brooks County. You know, I feel like that things have to be done very differently. And that on that fence, The pipe should be, again, like I said, 6 feet long, plus 2 inches in diameter, heavy gauge, and there's a tape that's normally used to protect the pipe. There's 4-inch tape that they just said at Alamo Lumber Company that you wrap around the pipe to protect it from getting rusted soon, or you know, it gives it a longer period of time to stay there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else for public comments? Come on up.
Good morning. Just real quick, for those of you that weren't aware or haven't known that we have a new Democratic chair, Mr. Raymond Maldonado. I've gone into contract with him already. I'm going to give the contract to Mr. Petroli that I'm supposed to file with him. I'd like y'all to know that I am helping in every way possible. Glenn Maxey is the state chair. He does the appointments with the recommendation of whoever is called for him. At this point, he is serving an unexpired term and will be on the ballot on the next election. But for right now, I've given him a place at the library next to my office for right now while they're signing candidates up so that he can use my copier and everything I'm trying. The state chair is hoping that I'll, you know, help him in whatever I can and train him and do what I need to do. So aside from what I'm already doing, I want you to know that on behalf of Brooks County Elections, I will be helping him in anything that he needs. I will be standing there and, you know, whatever is possible that I can do for him, I will be doing that. I've gone into contract already since he will be calling the election. And if there's any questions, certainly call us and we will assist with whatever we can. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, come on up, Mr. Maldonado. Introduce yourself to the public.
Good morning. Appreciate your time. People that don't know me, they know Maldonado. I am the Deputy Chairman. And I'd like to thank the judge for appointing me. I'll be honest with you. When I know about electricity, I don't know nothing about politics. I got involved with it in a blind side. I didn't know what it was all about, but I took the office anyway because we needed one. When I got in there, I realized it wasn't what I thought it was. It's not easy, but thanks to that lady there, I've gotten a long way. She's helped me a lot. She knows, she's very knowledgeable in what she knows, and whenever we have a problem, the people ask me, I hate to answer without calling the state. When you call the state, you get the right answers. But she's been helpful to me. And I just wanted to come here to let y'all know how good she is. And if it wasn't for her, we'd be in a mess right now. And another thing I want to let y'all know before I step out, it's going to be short. There are a lot of people that are running for office, which is fine. And a lot of people are running with, or at least I hear they are. I don't know. I can't say it for sure. With signatures. And that's fine, too. But the people got to understand that when you're rubbing signatures, you're hurting our budget. That's how we pay the workers. That's how we take care of our expenses. Hearsay is that, on hearsay only, I'm looking at about $2,500 short. And that's a lot of money that we can use as expenses. So just a word of gossip, you know, word of mouth gets a long way. If people can spread it out, that we need people to pay for it instead of just signatures, because it's not because we try to be mean with them. We use it for their expenses. And on that note, I'll leave the program. Just, I didn't want to let y'all know what's going on in our office right now. But so far, everything is going real well. Thanks to Anna. So thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you accepting and welcome, and everything will be great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for public comments? Okay. Line item 2. We have a presentation from Richard Silva from Combined Insurance. Come on up.
Do you mind if I pass you around?
Sure.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Richard Silva with Combined Insurance, and what we do is we're in the business of helping people. What I was asking the judge if we can speak to some of the employees here in the Brooks County or in the city and see if we can help them with insurance, because if something unexpected were to happen, you would need all the money you can get and then some. Isn't that true? So what we do is we offer whole life insurance, disability insurance. You can get up to $2,000 for up to 2 years if you were disabled. Two types of cancer plans, a lump sum up to $50,000, or a benefit if you needed chemotherapy and every surgery and anything else. Critical care insurance, if you were diagnosed with one of 12 illnesses, you can get up to $100,000. Like, take example for heart attack, heart surgery, multiple sclerosis, stroke, and many others. Accident sickness insurance and accident insurance, if you went to the emergency room for like stitches or needed surgery, they would pay that on top of whatever insurance you have directly to you. So that's
okay. Well, I'll tell you what, you can never be in that. You can never have enough insurance. What I do is I give the employees an opportunity to, you know, for anyone to come up and do a presentation, because, you know, they might not like one insurance and they can go with another. So the opportunity is always there, but we can pass this out and
sure,
and you can visit with them.
Sure.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
All right.
Alrighty, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. On presentation, Marisa, Yvette, Garcia, Adli.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for your time. My name is Marisa Ivette-Utley, and I'm here on behalf of my consulting business, Momentum Consulting. And what I do is rural and community development. I did get to speak with Commissioner Martinez over the phone. It's been about a month, and I visited with Judge Barrera as well about my services. And it's to my understanding that right now you do not have an active grant writer or economic development director. And what I do is I combine both as far as community development and economic development and helping your county or your entity seek grants. I do a lot of volunteer work for Jim Wells County. There's kind of an issue because of my relationship with the county judge that, you know, I won't seek employment through Jim Wells, but I do a lot of volunteer work helping them with grants and helping them with economic development. I am also awaiting an appointment from the governor's office to the Economic Development Committee for the state. I do have my certification through the state in economic development and several other certificates through that same organization. So I am always in communication with the USDA, with the Texas Department of Agriculture, seeking grants for our rural area. If you do not have someone actively pursuing these monies, someone else will get the monies. They're out there. It's a matter of educating yourself and getting informed and being in constant communication with your legislatures, whether it's Senator Nojosa's office or Congressman Gonzalez's office, Ryan Guillen's office. They are the first ones that get these lists of monies that are available to your rural areas. And without having someone that's in communication or that middle person that's actively pursuing them, those are just going to pass through. I know in Alice or in Jim Wells, it just helped with a fire truck with through USDA. Roel Gomez from the Valley is our district supervisor, and he helps us with any type of USDA assistance as far as grant writing, as well as the Texas Department of Agriculture. They're ready to come down at any time to work on block grants, to help with infrastructure, to help with your workforce, to help with business development. And I know right now, in talking to Commissioner Martinez, he mentioned that the sheriff is needing some equipment. There's a lot of outdated equipment that the officers have right now, and he's wanting help with that. I don't know if y'all ever work with the city as far as interlocal agreements to where both of y'all maybe could come together and hire my consulting business to work hand in hand for both of you, because I know whatever is going to help the county is more than likely going to help the city since it all falls in the same, you know, area and jurisdiction. So I'm here to kind of just let you know who I am. And if y'all have any questions or would like to meet with me one-on-one on what it is I can offer, I know y'all have hired a consulting firm in the past or the last year or two, and that didn't work out the way it was promised. So I know you're going to be a little, you know, a little hesitant on the services I'm providing or that I provide. But I would ask that you would consider me. I live right down the road in Ben Bolt. I used to live here in Falfurrias about 25 years ago, so I know the little city. And rural development is near to my heart, and I feel that now with your bypass, there is, I'm sure, a lot of revenue that y'all have lost because of that. And there are things that we can do to help with that. TxDOT also offers grants to help as well. So if any of y'all have any questions, I can answer them right now. I didn't bring any cards. I just wanted to make just a quick, you know, introduction and presentation. I can give you my cell phone, which is 361-960-9090, and I can answer any questions you might have. And as far as coming in as a consultant, you know, it helps relieve some of that burden on the county or the city as far as hiring a full-time grant writer or economic development director where you would have to provide benefits. This would be, you know, a small fee for 1 year, and then I would just work off the administration fees off any grants that I would bring in. So it would be a win-win for both of us. So feel free to contact me, and I can answer any questions you might have. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Sandra Barrera. Welcome.
Good morning, Judge. Thank you, Commissioner. Mrs. Court, good morning. I just wanted to share with you that I have now become the newest advocate for CASA for Brooks County and Jim Wells County. I already have my first case out of Jim Wells County. If you are not aware of what CASA is an organization that helps kids. We provide the advocacy for kids that have fallen into the foster care program. I learned about CASA almost 4 years ago when I was on the council. They came and made the presentation as I am doing today. And at that particular time, I didn't know what it was. And if you all had ever seen the sign next to the HEB where there's a child and a young lady out there, I always looked at it and never really paid too much mind to it, unfortunately. But the presentation did hit hard to me when they came and said what they needed, because a lot of kids have been displaced out of Brooks County. I've been helping the welfare department for some years, and with the help of the judge, we have provided with the turkeys and so forth for the families so they, you know, to service them. About 6 months ago, I went into training already and went through the process of becoming an advocate for these kids. I've been blessed with wonderful family, my own parents that, you know, upbringing me. So I felt in my heart that I wanted to pay forward and to be an advocate for these kids that have been displaced. Of course, you would always want to reunite these kids with their family. And at times, it doesn't happen. And sometimes things, you know, whether they be the foster care or that these are services that I want to make sure the kids are given. The judge appoints an advocate to a case, and I'm representing not the parents, I represent the child. I am their voice to make sure that everything that the judge has ordered for these kids are being done. That means even in the foster home that they are placed, that is a proper home and a safe place. Every kid should be placed and should have a loving and place and a voice to take care of those needs. Today is November 14th, and it is a day of giving. There is 44 charitable groups that are awaiting donations. If you've seen it on the TV, Brush Country, CASA is one of them. And for every donation there is today, it's doubled, whatever you give. If you gave $10, that matched by 20. So whatever it is, there was 30 families last year, Judge, that were displaced, just Brooks County alone, kids that were taken away from their home. And, you know, I just picked up my first case, and
you know, and I'm ready to be those kids, you know. So there's still need of volunteers for GASA. I'm going to be bringing to the judge some pamphlets, and we're going to have a recruiting day. We did have one several months ago, and we had some people come in. We were blessed. Whether there's one or two, we didn't have those before. It's like they say in that movie, if you build it, they shall come. Well, the same thing. I feel if there's one advocate today, somebody else will follow. It is important because there are kids in this community in Brooks that are displaced. Is that not many people are aware of what is going on because of the privacy, but they are out there that do leave their homes for whatever reason. And Kingsville, Jim Wells, and Brooks County, that's why they call it Brush Country, because we merged together. Judge Terrell is the judge that resides here before the CPS cases. Michael Garcia does it in Jim Wells, Jaime Garrillo in Claybrook County. I just wanted to let you know that I am going to work hard for the children that are displaced here in Brooks County. And I just want to thank the judge. Right here today is my former mayor, that when we were on the council, Ms. Garcia brought the CASA group to us, and that was what got me started to thinking that I wanted to be a part of that. So we thank you today, Commissioner, Judge, thank you for your time.
Thank you for being a volunteer. The hardest part of being a volunteer is you don't get paid, right? So it takes a big heart to do any type of volunteer. Thank you, Sandra. Barrera Solis Law Firm.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes. Come on up.
While he's doing that, my name is Armando Barrera. Some of you know me. I'm with the Barrera and Solis Law Firm, and I want to congratulate Sandra Barrera. CASA is a great organization. You know, as a lawyer for a long time, I know exactly what they do and how they take care of children that are in great need. And congratulations to Sandra and for helping the county. I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, to present a proposal along with the SNAPCA law firm. SNAPCA law firm and us have worked for many years together in many cases in federal court, state court. Some of these cases involve medical malpractice, medical device malfunctions, medications that are bad and have caused extensive damage to many people in our state. And together with the SNAPCA law firm, these people have been compensated, and some in multi-million dollar verdicts. Now, what we're here for this morning is to present the county, and we have a proposal there that sometime, you know, when you have time to look at it, and it is to recover money expended by this county and many other counties in the state and national as well, because of the opioid epidemic problem that we have, and I'm not going to go into it, but Mr. Craig Henderson will. And Mr. Henderson is a member of the SNAPCA law firm, and he's going to present some proposals to you, some facts, and there is a contract in there for you all to consider at some point. Mr. Henderson.
Thank you, Armando. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
My name is Craig Henderson. I'm an attorney with the SNAPCA law firm, and as Armando just indicated to you, I'd like to visit with you folks a little bit about what has been called the opioid epidemic that we have in this country today. I think many of us heard the president 3 weeks ago declare a state of emergency related to the opioid epidemic. I think what a lot of folks don't realize, and what I didn't realize, is when we think about opioids, what a lot of us think about is heroin. And we think about junkies, we think about big cities, and we don't think it has anything to do with our towns and people that we know. Unfortunately, that's not the case. What the opioid epidemic is about now, it involves heroin, for sure, but it also involves prescription drugs. And the explosion of the opioid-based prescription drugs that have started to be prescribed starting in about 2010, and we saw a huge explosion in 2012. And when we start looking at the numbers associated with the amounts of prescriptions, it's pretty sobering. We gave you a packet. There's information in there. But if you look at the back of it, you'll see there's I put a little chart in here. And what this is, it's a map of the United States. And what this describes is the opioid prescriptions per 100 people in each state. Now, again, what we're talking about is prescribed drugs. We're not talking about heroin. We're talking about things like OxyContin, Vicodin, Benadryl, Percocet, drugs a lot of us have heard, but that's what we're discussing when we talk about the prescriptions of opioids. If you look at this, you'll see different states have different problems. If you look at the purple, like let's look at Oklahoma, for example. In 2012, there were 96 prescriptions of opioids per 100 people in Oklahoma. And so you think about that for a second. So 96 folks out of 100 were getting prescriptions for opioids. Now, Texas, we're a little bit better. It's not quite as bad, but it's still sobering when you look at the number, which is in 2012, in Texas, it was 72 to 82 prescriptions of opioids per 100 people. Again, really a large number. We took a look at the CDC information in Brooks County. The levels were in 2012, and it's on page 2 of the document I have in front of you. It was 52.4 per 100 folks. And in 2010, it was 81.1 per 100 people. Now, and just for clarification, what that number means is it doesn't mean for every 100, that every 81.1 of your friends and neighbors in Brooks was getting a prescription. It just tells you what the percentages are. So that's, you would take, so Brooks County is 7,000 folks, I think is the census, you would multiply that by 81 over 100, and that tells you the number of prescriptions that have been done every year in Brooks County. And you can see rapidly those numbers start growing, and that's why we have an issue in this country, and we think in Texas, and more in our small towns. CDC tells us that in 2016, there were 289 million prescriptions of opioids in this country. They've also calculated the damage resulting from the overprescription of opioids to be about $78.5 billion. That's in 2016 alone. These costs associated with the overprescription of opioids includes stresses that are put on our social services, costs associated with providing health care to people who have suffered from overdose or people who are suffering from addiction to the opioids. It puts a stress on our criminal justice system. It puts a stress on our judicial system. We have, and it puts a stress on our substance abuse programs and our programs to try to rehabilitate these folks. It is a huge cost to our economy. Again, nationally, at the state level, locally, and even at the city level. What is we are seeing now, and what we're here to talk to you about today, is states, counties, cities are now taking action. Suits are being filed against the manufacturers of these opioid products to bring them or call them to task on why we had this explosion of the opioid epidemic in the first place. The allegations against the manufacturers, what we're really talking about let me ask you this. Everybody watches TV. How many times have we seen the ads for prescription medication? And we see it.
Especially at night when you're home.
At night, exactly. At night. We see it all the time. And what you see is these ads come on, and it seems whatever that medication is, those people are throwing balls to their dogs, they're running around riding bicycles. you know, it's, it looks like it's a good deal. That's part of what this is about. The allegation against the manufacturers, prescription drug companies, is that they downplayed the risk of addiction. They promoted this idea of pseudo-addiction. And what that means is you would have patients come in who would be going and taking their prescriptions, using them quickly, much quicker than they're supposed to, then come back to their doctor and say, I need some more. I need more OxyContin, please. I've used my OxyContin. Or I've lost my OxyContin, or something along the lines. And what the drug manufacturers were alleged to have done was tell doctors, what you're seeing here is not somebody who's addicted to drugs, who's now trying to get their fix. What you're seeing here is somebody who is in pain, and so what you really need to be doing is prescribing them more. So instead of seeing an addiction, what they see is an opportunity to sell additional drugs. They exaggerate the effect of screening tools to find folks who are being addicted, because, by the way, the concept of addiction as it relates to opioids, and again, I think about heroin. That's the one we always think about. Being addicted to that is, most of us know that. And so the trick was to downplay the idea of addiction if it was a prescription drug. So the argument is if it's a prescription drug, you can't get addicted to it. We know that's wrong. Right now, there's 25 lawsuits that have been filed as of, I think that was probably as of beginning of October. Six states have filed suits. The rest are counties and cities throughout the country. In Texas, I am aware of two counties that have already filed suits. I suspect that we're going to see more soon. The pattern of this litigation is following very closely to the tobacco litigation. Some of you folks may recall back in the late 90s, there was a large lawsuit involving the 50 states against, actually it was 46 states, against tobacco, with very similar issues where there was denial of the addictive nature of their product, the medical effects, health effects that their product had on individuals. That ultimately led to a global settlement of $200 billion. We suspect that this litigation will be in a similar vein, and what I mean by that is a lot of individual lawsuits will be filed on behalf of states, counties, and cities. They will be combined into one large piece of litigation called an MDL, and then that's how the case would proceed. Our law firm, the SNAPA law firm, has about 30 years of experience in pharmaceutical litigation and in MDLs. Catherine Snapka, who is our primary member of the firm, there's information about her in the packet I gave you. She has 35 plus years of experience in this sort of litigation. She has obtained multi-million dollar verdicts in pharmaceutical litigation, Fen-Phen, Vioxx, that type of litigation. We're very well versed in how to litigate these cases. Not only have we done a lot of pharmaceutical litigation, we have represented governmental entities in the past, Rockport, Hidalgo, Duval, so we appreciate the unique situations that you folks have to your constituency. And how we need to be responsive to those concerns. In the back of your packet I gave you is a draft contract. Generally, this would be what's called a contingency contract. What that means is the county would not be liable to pay any monies unless there's a recovery. Our firm pays all expenses, etc., up until there is a recovery. If there is no recovery, the county is not liable for any monies. As I said, this litigation is just starting. About 25 cases already filed. We think it's going to rapidly increase. We're already seeing multiple law firms out there putting together lawsuits. We are, because of our experience in the pharmaceutical litigation area, we have contacts with a lot of these other firms who do this work. And so we see what's coming down the pike. As Armando indicated to you, we would love to be of assistance to Brooks County and make sure that Brooks County has a seat at the table as this litigation proceeds. If y'all have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions?
Not at this time.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
All right. Okay, let's go to line item 13. Discuss, consider an act on voting for the appraisal district board of directors 2018-2019. Daniel Garcia is here. Mr. Garcia is not here. Okay. This is a resolution. It says election of appraisal district board of directors. Be it resolved by the Commissioners' Court of Brooks County that Elva Ray, B. Silvas, and Noe Guerra received by majority vote one half of the total 1,876 votes, or 37.53% votes to each member to serve in Brooks County Tax Appraisal District. I here certify that this official action was taken at the regular meeting held November 14, 2017. Do I have a motion to approve line item 13?
Motion.
Motion by Olivares. Second.
I have to abstain because I sit on the board.
Second by Vargas. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion approved. Okay. Line item 15, discuss, consider an act on authorizing county staff to execute an agreement for Brooks County electricity needs. Rick Amos from Texan Utilities is here. No one's here to represent, so we'll take no action on that. Okay, line item 16, discuss, consider an act on request for facility and change of address for KCOS. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
My name is Javier Garcia, and I am the Chief Operation Officer for Community Action Health Centers out of Alice. Ms. Awat was not able to come in and meet. She had an emergency meeting with HRSA, as well as the funding source for Head Start. That we're here collaborating on behavioral services, which is ideal for the next request on your agenda. Community Action Corporation of South Texas has been providing primary health care services to Brooks County dating way back to the early 80s. In December of 2003, Community Action was deemed a federally qualified health center. We started providing primary health care services through a mobile unit, and we would park it on Blucher Street. We eventually were able to attain a facility, which is on 1302. South St. Mary's, where we currently provide primary health care family services, OBGYN services, as well as pediatric services. Our current providers are Dr. Orion, which has been around in the community for many years. Here in early 2017, we hired a full-time provider nurse practitioner, Ms. Rosa Martinez, currently providing services at that location. Ms. Ofelia Canales, our nurse practitioner, provides women's services once a week. Recently, we were informed that Dr. Tinelli has moved location. The current location we're housed has no room for expansion. We would like to bring behavioral services over to Brooks County, though we don't have exam rooms or office space to expand that services. So at this time, Community Action would like to request the use of the facility where Dr. Tinelli vacated and at the same time, if approved, maybe have a change of address. And let me explain a little bit about the reason for change of address. HRSA works very closely with CMS, that would be Medicare and Medicaid. In order for us to include a new facility, which entails a new address, it takes a process, it's called a change of scope, to incorporate that facility into our service area. Even though we are approved in Brooks County to provide services, Medicare has to approve the facility. That facility is already approved where we're currently providing services. Dr. Tonelli's old office, I believe, is 1402 South St. Mary's. If we were able to attain the facility, a change of address is also requested so that we don't have to submit a change of scope. A change of scope will take anywhere between 4 and 6 months to approve. If we change the scope, we don't have, if we change the address, we don't have to submit a change of scope. CMS already has approved that facility for us to provide services. So we plan to begin behavioral services early January of 2018. We're in the process of hiring LPC and LPCIs to provide the service. So at this time, we'd like to request the ability to acquire that facility and maybe amend our current contract. I think we have a contract that expires January 1st of 2019 for the location that we're currently at. We used two facilities in December, I believe, of 2006. We started providing primary health care services there at that location. In 2009, we applied for HRSA funds to expand pediatric services here in Brooks County. There was an empty shell where we're currently providing services. We entered into agreement to acquire that empty shell. We renovated that shell and currently provide our pediatric services through there. It's important to mention that in 2017, we expanded primary health care services to 5 days a week. We were here 3 days a week due to the fact we were so rural that we couldn't find a full-time provider to come provide services here. Ms. Rosa Martinez is out of Corpus Christi. She commutes every day, day in and day out, to our facilities. So now we have her 5 days a week. Dr. Orion was providing services 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, at our pediatric services. We've hired a physician assistant, Ms. Requeñez, Laura Requeñez, who comes in on Mondays and Wednesdays, and starting in December, it'll be on Fridays as well. So we will have 5 days of pediatric services, 5 days of family practice services. We have 1 day of OB services, and we want to expand behavioral services to include an LPC. We just don't have the room or space to expand. This is the reason for the request. Are there any questions? I know I threw a lot of information. Oh, by the way, I'm not Ms. A. Walt, so I think you figured that out right now. So she's asked me to come in and request from the Court of Commissioners and the county for that facility.
She also talked about opiates.
Yes. With regards to LPC services, we're looking into hiring the LPC who also has the LCDC license, which is able to provide substance abuse services. We want to go ahead and we wrote a small grant and we were granted the award, so we're going to be expanding behavioral services not only in Brooks County but in Clayburgh County as well. We do have space in Clayburgh, but we do not have space in Brooks County to expand those services.
Questions? Discussion?
We didn't rent that case out, did we?
We haven't rented it. Mm-hmm.
It's fixing it up. How long before it gets fixed? So how long before the building gets fixed?
With that in mind, I do want to offer that Community Action is willing and prepared to do some renovations to the facility to assist. I know that all our counties are in a rough spot right now, So we are prepared to help with the renovation of that facility if need be.
Okay, so Beth, can you come forward? It needs painting. What else? Make a list. What else does it need? It needs to be painted?
At one time, the roof leak and the ceiling needs to be scraped off and picked up and painted.
The ceiling, okay.
Mainly the ceiling that's messed up. It's not the walls aren't that bad.
The bathrooms?
Well, the bathrooms? The bathrooms are good.
Are the bathrooms ADA?
Think so.
Because if we're going to do renovations, I believe we'd have to make the locations ADA accessible. So with that in mind, we may need to, I don't know if the size, we can probably bring someone in to help in that area. Because it'll be a federally qualified health center, there's some ADA guidelines that we have to follow.
Anything else that we need there?
How much time are you going to need? Before y'all move in, if you will.
Well, if it all goes well, we should have providers by late December. So we can start providing services at the turn of the year, January of 2018. Maybe even sooner, depending on how much work the facility may need.
Well, that's up to them.
Up to who?
But he'll give him some assistance. He'll help him out.
Absolutely. We can, I spoke with Ms. Awalt last night, and I did say that we would probably have to assist with renovating the facility to meet the specs of and requirements by HRSA.
What part of the contract would you like to amend? What are we talking
well,
about?
Well, we can probably amend the length of the contract.
All right.
I know we're expiring in 2 months, and we can probably come to an agreement on some type of lease. We currently pay $1,000 a month for the locations that we're at, so we can come into an agreement on a fee for those. I don't even know how many square feet. We can probably meet with you, Judge, if it all goes well, and maybe discuss and come to an agreement.
All right. Any questions? Would you be able to handle all that? If you're going to do all this, would you be able to hire someone to do that?
Yes. Now, there is a procurement process in place that we have to follow. So we usually open it up to the community so the money stays in the community.
Okay.
There's some requirements. So, and if the county, we can probably get our maintenance man with county. If worst comes to worst, we can work together and pull our resources together to get it to where we need to provide services.
And the reason I'm asking is because we're limited on maintenance. We have three full-time maintenance, and you know, we take them out of one place and put them in another.
Okay.
That kind of just...
We should be able to assist with that.
You will be able to assist. Okay. If we could come to an agreement, that would be great with all that.
Great.
Any questions?
Judge, you would be able to negotiate with him and sit down with him? And
I'm sure we can come up with something that's...
Yes, Ms. Awalt has given me the authority to meet with...
Let's start with the giving him the okay to do this, and then we can discuss everything else.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I guess the change of address is very important. So if we can change it to where we're currently at, I think that address is 1402 South St. Mary's to an address of... That's not going to be
Bobby,
a possibility.
Bobby, that's not going to work.
Bobby.
To 1302?
Hold on. Let's bring that 911 addressing.
The address for that building is 1301, and it's A, B, C, Suite B. The 1402 goes back a long, long ways, again, to meet the Medicare and Medicaid requirements for Dr. Tunnell. There was never a change of address for that particular building. So the address is 1301 Suite D for that particular building for Dr. Tunnell's address.
And it cannot be changed.
Oh, yeah, we can change it.
Oh, that's what we're saying, no.
No. We can change it. I mean, if their A and B is where they're supposed to be at right now.
What we can do is I'll get with Bobby and share with you the address that we have with HRSA, so that it matches exactly.
Okay.
Very good.
I know that I'd like to meet with Ms. AWOL, if possible, on the indigent side of the house.
Okay.
And set up that meeting, because there's some questions that I'm getting back from people. And again, are we duplicating services because we have MHMR there already, or are you all tied in with MHMR?
Actually, we provide primary health care services with Coastal Plains one day a month, where they provide their psychological services and we provide primary health care services on the day the psychiatrist is there, so that they don't, it's a convenience for the patient as well as one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. So yes, we are working together with Coastal Plains.
Sounds great after the opiates presentation.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, discussion, suggestions?
That is it.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve the change of address and the use of the request, the request of the facility, pending a new lease, the amendment of the lease?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza. Second. Second by Vargas. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Aye. Motion approved. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Line item 17, discuss, consider, and act on request of the Brooks County 4-H Club to utilize the Brooks County Fairgrounds on December 16th, 2017, all day for a kids ranch rodeo. Victor?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Like the judge said, we're looking to request the use of the fairgrounds, which is a pavilion, and this is for a 4-H ranch rodeo taking place on Saturday, December 16th.
Questions?
No questions.
No motion questions? No. All right, do you have a motion to approve?
Right here.
Motion by Vargas, second.
Second.
Second by Garza, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Line item 18, discuss, consider, and act on using GovPay to help reduce credit and debit card convenience fees for all county departments. John Tenzar, Director of Sales of the Government Pay. Morning.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Yes.
My name is John Tenzer. I'm Director of Sales for GovPay. GovPay is a payment processor specializing in government, state, local, federal agency services for credit card and debit card processing, e-check type, virtual and actual terminal machines. We supply these machines on a cost-free basis to all the government agencies. There's no cost to the county. We've been speaking with Brooks County about doing their tax, property tax business. They're currently using the competition, and they have a system set up right now. I've attached a pricing system on the back page of the current pricing that's called a tiered pricing system. So as the amount of tax goes up, like up to $500, it goes up to 6%. We are at a flat 2.5% on credit cards, and we also offer one feature the current supplier doesn't offer. We offer debit card payments at 1.95%. Now, this convenience fee, if this is a convenience fee that is passed on to the customer, it's not handed over to the county whatsoever. You pay no fees whatsoever. There are no IT cost fees for setups. We integrate with their current software provider act. It takes 10 minutes to integrate with it. It's API type of integration. So there's no problems with the software. They wouldn't have to do any type of changes in their daily routines. The software remains the same. We just connect. It's just like a module that connects to their software service right now. So what we're saying right now is there's no cost to the county, and it's a reduction of cost to the consumer, approximately about 0.5%. And it gives them a lot of different options. If somebody wants to come in and make a payment, we provide actual terminals where you swipe the card just like you do when you go in a grocery store and you get a receipt. That, as that's happening, that also goes live online. So 365 days a year, the clerk can look up that particular transaction, pull information. If the customer lost their receipts, whatever, they can print it out. But it's also good for reconciliation. A lot of clerks spend, you know, time, especially with the system that they have right now, they might spend 2 to 3 hours a day reconciling how many debit cards came through, or I mean, how many credit cards came through, what cash came through. All the stuff, all the cash, debit, and credit all flows through the same system, automatically reconciled. The clerk has to do nothing. It's there in real time. It prints out in real time. The next day, a daily summary of the transactions that happened is also sent via email, kind of a reminder so the clerk can file it by day. It's broken down by Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or cash, or debit card, whatever that transaction. It's date and time stamped. Also, going into that, that department or different departments, we take a check that goes, avoid the check that goes and is set up, and the monies are funneled directly into that account as it's happening. So it takes a shorter bit of time. Like in, it's 10 seconds for it to show up on a debit card transaction. Now, on credit card transactions, it's normally a 24-hour scenario where it would show up in the bank deposit. But again, the clerk can see it live. They can see it date stamp when all this stuff is happening. So it makes their life a lot easier. It saves money all the way through. We're doing about 62% of the counties in Texas. We've been around for 13 years. We have a great customer base and reference base that you can pull from. We do Kennedy County. I'm just signing up Cleburne right next door. So we think we have a lot of things we can offer to your county and to your customer base.
What's the difference between what we have right now and Terry? I'm sorry. Let's ask questions over here.
Sure.
With HAMER, we don't have the terminals as he's discussing. We do have two for motor vehicle because we do use it for both motor vehicle and taxes. That's just not set up yet, but for our taxes, we do input everything in. With the company, and of course, their fees are less than what HAMER is. I know it's $3 for every 100. Once you hit 500, it's 3%.
Do we have any type of contract with the other company?
I know we've been with them since before 04. There was a period of time where we weren't using them, and then we got them back. It's been more than 10 years that we've had them. I can't recall if we have a contract, because of course there is no cost to the county either. Right. With them, so
I might be able to help you with them. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Within the last 3 years, the laws have changed on these contracts for processing.
Okay.
Everybody has a 30-day opt-out. It doesn't matter if they signed a 2-year contract or a 3-year contract. Now, by law, you have to give your customer a 30-day opt-out. If they decide they want to change, all they do is give written notice to email to that other processor, and within 30 days, you can make that change. So that's my law now. So you're not stuck into a 5-year contract anymore, or 3-year contract.
I have a question, because this is also on the inside. Last time, Post County was with another credit card vendor, which is a room page, and it was terrible. Literally terrible to the fact, I'm not saying, but I'm saying, to the fact that at the end, people were paying online, and the money was being deposited into the federal account. So if they're paying online, say, the client's person is going to pay fees and vice versa, all over the place.
Yeah.
So what makes, we don't want to call it that, because that was a mess. It was really a mess. So when we started auditing, we started
when you set up the account originally, you have to take, you set up each individual department, and each individual department has to give us a voided check that they want that particular department's money to go into. So account is set up for, like, over in Kennedy County, we set up an account for the tax assessor's office, we set up an account for the sheriff's department over there, and everybody has a real-time live account that this money is flowing into. And it's set up on both machines and the virtual terminal in that exact manner, separated into accounts. So there's no mixing of accounts. It's not like one general account that you have to break it out.
That's the case here. There was not one general account, there's multiple ones. And it's still did that. You know, I know for a fact that with Hammer, I call him Hammer Center, but I call him with Hammer, we never had it. Since I was in Fort Lauderdale back in the days, so now we have Hammer and we never had a problem with that. I just want to make, because you want to make it more efficient and cost benefit all around.
Sure.
Because if we're going to have an asset on the backside, then what's the point of having to acquire a new credit card company? I don't know how we come to that program.
Yeah.
But I think it might be due justice to look into it a little further to see and call some of these people.
Yeah,
and go from there. Because we don't want to catch ourselves and say yes and then find out, hey, we have another credit card company.
We want you to do that. Matter of fact, we have a list that we provide for you. We want you to check all our references. We're a San Antonio-based company, and we can be here in 3 hours if there's any type of IT issue. Or we provide live support from 7 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. So if there's any issues over the phone, we can take care of that. If we have to send one of our representatives down here, we can be down here in 3 hours. But, you know, I never take anybody's word for it. I want to do my due diligence and do my reference check so we can supply you with nearby county, sheriff's department, whatever department you want. We can give you a list of people and you can randomly call whoever you want.
Because if that's the case, I would like myself and Paul Roddy to go over to any county, talk to the county auditor over there, and sit down and see how that goes.
I would
give us a better idea.
I would suggest I think that's perfect.
Given the history of Brooks County, sometimes they have contracts that, you know, sometimes 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So I got to check a few things before we actually.
Sure.
Yes.
That's great. I want you to do everything right.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sir, is it next day funding?
It's next day funding on credit cards on 24 hours, and it all happens if the transaction happens between. I'm just using credit cards now. Because real time is debit card is real time. It comes right out of checking account. So that happens within 10 seconds. But credit cards, if you do it between 8 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll show it up on it'll show up on the next day. If you do the transaction after 3 p.m. in the afternoon, it can take up to 48 hours for that deposit to happen. So it's a time sensitive deal. And it's all date and time stamped for you as it's happening. So you can keep track of that. But thank you for that. I appreciate that. Everybody should check everybody out. I've seen some. I've been doing this for 30 years, so I've seen some horror stuff out there. So you're right on with that. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go ahead and that was line item 18. Go ahead and table this. Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have a motion to table?
Motion.
Motion.
Motion by Garza, second by Olivares. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Okay. Line item 19, discuss, consider an act on bidding out for contract for trimming the trees. Beto. Courthouse trees, I'm sorry, I left.
Yes.
The courthouse trees.
Yes, you know, I got some bids for the courthouse. We had bids for the other ones, but this was the one that really needs it, and, you know, here comes the holidays, we want to fix it up. We have Salinas from the San Diego, I believe. They want $5,150. L&M Trucking. L&M Trucking bid. Well, he went from 49. He went all the way to 29, $2,900. But he asked if they could haul it for free. to the dump.
Was this put in the paper?
Huh?
Was this put in the paper?
But we just wanted it done before, and this was in the paper, I think it was last year, and this is what they came up with, the five.
Since last year? What do you mean?
Hmm?
What do you mean since last year?
No, 2 years ago. And he said, I'm giving you 2 years ago prices. Because we did get it, and this was the cheapest one. The other one was from the valley, and it was more expensive.
But who's that?
Who's the 2900?
Yeah, with L&M Trucking, yes.
Go ahead, man.
They're the same ones that did the Encino
fence,
right?
The what?
L&M Trucking? Not the same ones that did the Encino fence?
No.
Okay, someone else?
Yeah, Salinas is from San Diego.
Okay. Salinas is from San Diego?
Yes.
Did they already do that here?
We just want to...
Yes. About a year, 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yes.
You think it needs it already?
Yeah. Especially, the library's not that bad. That's what I'm saying. I'm only asking for the courthouse, you know, because we're going to decorate for Christmas and stuff, and they look bad.
For bids for like a week or so, see what else we can get, maybe get a better deal.
Okay.
You know, we still have a few weeks to work with in November.
All right.
What do y'all think? Just in case.
See what you can get.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So we'll go ahead and table this pending going out advertising for bids, at least for just a week. We don't? Just no action? Okay, so then we'll bid out. So then I do need a...
So you're going to put it in the paper then?
Well, it says that I'm not going to bid it out. Okay, so we will advertise it, okay?
No.
Do I have a motion to approve? I'm sorry.
Motion.
Bidding out for contract.
Motion.
Motion by Garza, second?
Second.
Second by Vargas, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Let's go back to line item 11, discuss, consider an act on attorney's retainer contract between Brooks County and Farrell Pyro and Wansenberg and Pierce, and I think I destroyed all those names, last names. I'm not even going to try the last one.
About Ferrer Perot and Wansenberg and
yes,
Pierce,
that's
not
what I said.
Yes, Judge. Good morning.
Good morning.
To see you again. I'm here again, and as I don't need to go through all the statistics on the opioid crisis.
Uh-huh.
We all know what that is. The last time I was here, Bobby Sines spoke
did we ever,
in favor.
Did you ever... We still need to review it a little bit more. Okay. So we're not ready.
We're not ready.
With respect to, you know, whether we enter a contract today or not, you know, we can still have time to get him to look up that if you want to. I might add that this month in St. Louis, the opioid matter is going to be on the MDL docket, and I'm going to be there for that meeting. So some of these cases may or may not get consolidated. Depends on how the panel defines the group that's
okay.
going to be consolidated. So it's not necessarily so that, you know, all these cases will be lumped into a multi-district litigation. But again, you're well aware of our firm.
Yes, sir.
We have
yes.
one of the largest national presence in pharmaceutical litigation, two law firms, over 34 lawyers, over 200 support staff. We have the manpower, the money, and the resources to do this litigation. Okay.
Questions?
No questions.
I'm going to ask to table this, so I can get with Bobby, because I need statistics on Brooks County, because I know we have a huge problem here.
Right.
And the last time that you did come here, that you were present here, we had, and you know what, the month goes by so fast. let's wait on this and okay. Give me some stats, Bobby. We are November. How about by the end of November? Okay.
I think I sent you an email regarding that. So that would be what we're looking at.
Okay.
Have that handy right this second.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's really whatever opioid drugs that, I mean, I think we have a list. I can give you a list. Okay. Ah, okay.
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 So you need what you're looking for, not a heart medication, not anything else.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay. I'll be happy.
Let's go ahead and table this, and then we'll come back. Do you have a motion to table?
Motion.
Motion by Olivares.
Second.
Second by Vargas. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion approved. Mm. We'll get back with you. Get with Bobby, sir, please.
Okay. Thanks.
We need those stats. Okay. All right, line item 20. Discuss and approve the 2018 Brooks County Resolution Indigent Defense Grant Program. And this program is under the Texas Government Code, Section 79.037, and the Texas Administrative Code, Chapter 173. Counties are eligible to receive grants from the Texas Indigent Defense Commission to provide improvements in indigent defense services in the county. And this grant program will assist the county in the implementation and the improvement of the indigent criminal defense services in the county, in this county. Brooks County Commissioners Court has agreed that in the event of loss or misuse of the funds, Brooks County Commissioners assure that the funds will be returned in full to the Texas Indigent Defense Commission and ordered that the Brooks County Judge of this county is designated as the authorized official to apply for, accept, decline, modify, or cancel the grant application for the Indigent Defense Grant Program and all necessary documents to accept said grant. Do I have, is there any, are there any questions? None?
None.
Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Olivares, second?
Second.
Second by Garza, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. 21, discuss, consider, and act on canvassing of this November 7, 2017 constitutional amendment election. Anna, election administrator.
Okay, this is the canvas for the constitutional amendment election with a special joint election with the Brooks County ISD. Precinct 1 and 2, that's box 1 and 2, precinct 1. They had a total of 101 ballots cast on state proposition 1, 83 for, 8 against, a total of 91. Ballots cast with 10 undervotes, a total of 110 votes. Proposition 2, 84 for, 7 against, 91 total, 10 undervotes, total of 110. Proposition 3, 82 for, 7 against, 89 total, 12 undervotes, total of 110. Proposition 4, 79 for, 9 against, total of 87 with 13 undervotes, total of 110 votes. Proposition 5, 84 for, 7 against, total of 91 with 10 undervotes, total of 110. Proposition 6, 85 for, 6 against, 91 total votes cast, 10 undervotes, a total of 110. Proposition 7, 82 for, 6 against, 88 total votes cast, 13 undervotes, a total of 110. And on the Brooks County ISD, just for the record, had 86 for, 12 against, 98 total, with 3 undervotes, 110. Box 3 and 4, that's Precinct 2, had 121 ballots cast. On Proposition 1, 104, 13 against, 113 ballots cast, 8 undervotes, a total of 121. Proposition 2, 92 for, against were 18, 110 ballots cast, 11 undervotes, a total of 121. Proposition 3, 91 for, 17 against, 108 total cast votes and 13 undervotes with a total of 121. Proposition 4, 89 for, 20 against, 109 cast votes, 12 undervotes, a total of 121. Proposition 5, 91 for, 21 against, 112 total votes and 8 undervotes. 121 total votes. Proposition 6, 99 for, 10 against, 109 total votes, 12 undervotes, a total of 121. Proposition 7, 77 for, 32 against, 109 total votes, 12 undervotes, 121 total. On the school, Proposition A, 94 for, 25 against, 119 votes cast, 2 undervotes, 121. Precinct 3, Box 5 and 7 in Encino, there was 19 ballots cast. Proposition 1, 15 for, 14 against, 19 total votes, total of 19. Proposition 2, 14 for, 5 against, 19 total votes. Proposition 3, 13 for, 5 against, 18 total votes cast, 1 undervote. Proposition 4, 14 for, 5 against, 19 votes cast. Proposition 5, 14 for, 4 against, 18 ballots votes cast, 1 undervote. Proposition 6, 15 for, 4 against, 19 cast votes. Proposition 7, 14 for, 5 against, 19 total votes. Brooks County ISD, Proposition 8, 11 for, 9 against, total of 19 ballots. Precinct 3, Box 6, 116 ballots cast. Proposition 1, 98 for, 10 against, 108 total votes, 8 undervotes. Proposition 2, 92 for, 15 against, 107 votes cast, 9 undervotes. 85 for Proposition 3 were 4, 18 against, 103 cast votes, 13 undervotes. Proposition 4, 91 for, 12 against, 103 total votes cast, 13 undervotes. Proposition 5 were 84 for, 20 against, 104 total ballots, total votes cast, 12 undervotes. Proposition 6, 98 for, 7 against, 105 total votes, 11 under. Proposition 7 is 86 for, 19 against, 105 total votes, 11 undervotes. The Brooks County ISD Proposition 8, 101 for, 18 against, 13 against. That's a total of 114 ballots, votes cast, and two undervotes, making that 116 voters. And last precinct, box 8 and 9, precinct 4 with 208, and that was the biggest voter turnout in precinct 4, box 8 and 9. State Proposition 1, 184, 19 against, 193 total votes, 15 undervotes with a total of 208. Proposition 2, 171 for, 24 against, 195 votes, 13 undervotes. Proposition 3, 165, 124 against, 24 against, 189 cast votes, 19 undervotes. Proposition 4, 161, 4, 32 against, 193 votes, 15 undervotes. Proposition 5, 145, 4, 41 against, 186 votes cast, 22 undervotes. Proposition 6, 171, 4, 187 cast votes and 21 undervotes. And Proposition 7 had 140 votes, 4, 146, 46. I don't know why I keep wanting to put 100 in front of that. 146 against, 188 total votes cast, 22 undervotes. And then the Brooks County ISD Proposition 8 had 148 for, 50 against, making it 198 total votes and 10 undervotes.
Any questions? Good job, ma'am.
No.
Do I have a motion to approve the November 7th Constitution Amendment election?
Motion.
Motion by Olivares.
Can I get
motion
that?
By Vargas. Second by Olivares. All in favor?
Ma'am, can I get yours signed by everybody?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. It's okay, you're fine. Yeah, I did it. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, line item 22, discuss, consider, and act on adding half day to the 2017 holiday schedule for free Thanksgiving Day being Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. Brought to my attention that Wednesday, I guess they use it to prepare turkey and not whatever the families do. So I put this on the agenda. Do you have any questions? Do you have any concerns about the employees receiving at least half day pre-Thanksgiving?
Motion
to approve by Garza. Second.
Second.
Second by Vargas. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Let's take a 15-minute break. It is 10:20. Make sure. 10:24. Let's return back at 10:45. AM, let's reconvene. Okay. Line item 12, discuss, consider, and act on RFP request for emergency ambulance service proposal for Brooks County. I'm going to ask for, you can come forward, but I'm going to ask for a table on that for, because there's some other issues that we need to address before that.
Judge, I didn't hear you, Judge.
I said, line item 12, discuss, consider, and act on RFP request for emergency ambulance service proposal for Brooks County. I'm going to ask for a table on this due to some technical difficulties that we had, and then we will have a special commissioner's court on this.
Well, the reason we put it on here, well, I asked Bobby because there's two companies that have expressed interest, and I didn't have the criteria. He had the criteria, so I asked him to put it on there. But all we wanted to do is find out if the court wants to go out for bids. That's the only thing that we want here is, do we want to go out for bids?
Okay, my issue here is that when Bobby was reinstated, that part of the ambulance service was cut out of his job description. So we need to resubmit that without his name being on there. Okay? So I asked for a table on that.
So they'll schedule, and I know it's getting close towards the end of the contract, so if you're going to table
yes,
it, then
we will
days.
Have a special commissioner's court on that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have a motion to table?
Motion.
Motion by Olivares, second. Do I have a second on this? No second? I will second this. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That means you all are in agreement. Motion approved. All right. Signifies. That's what I was looking for. All right. Line item 3, approve of regular and special commissioners court meetings October 10th, 2017, October 16th, 2017, and October 20th, 2017. Any questions?
Nope.
Any discussions? All corrected? Did y'all go over them?
Yes.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza, second.
Second.
Second by Olivares. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. All right. Line item 5, approve a treasurer's monthly report.
Good morning.
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 Okay. This is for October 2017. Money's collected. JP 1, 15, you got yours? You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. $15,283.90. JP2, $153,025.69. JP3, $88,011.44. JP4, $13,519.09. County Clerk, Ms. Elva Ray Silva's, $3,891.75. Mr. Noguera, District Clerk, $16,349.98. Mr. Benny Martinez, Sheriff, Tax Assessor and Collector, $1,491,690.12. Total monies collected, $1,781,541.98. The distribution of monies as follows. The general fund received $1,130,032.20. The road and bridge received $347,725.16. The certificate of obligation interest and seeking, $89,674.81. Certificate of obligation series 2011, $24,537.51. Certificate of obligation series 2013, $77,268.60. State fees, $91,582.80. Record preservation, $928. courthouse security fund, $4,222.25. Code and traffic, $3,281.65. Law library, $490. Justice court technology, $4,141. Delinquent fees, $7,613. Appellate judicial, $45. For a grand total of $1,781,541.98. Other monies received. Our GEO county share was $3,647. Our health use sales taxes at $21,681.19. And an end in balance right now for October 2017. We have not reconciled those accounts. We're still working on it. I can provide you all, send you all an email with the balance. We haven't closed out yet. And our health use sales taxes, we have a CD. It's $127,508.69.
Good job.
I think that, Terry, how many of the taxpayers? The top what? Okay. So, they seem to be coming in the taxes from the major taxpayers. So.
Thank you for that. Any questions? A motion to approve the Treasurer's Monthly Report.
Motion.
Motion by Olivares, second.
Second.
Second by Vargas, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion approved. Line item 7, approve County Foreman's Monthly Report.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Thank you, Sudo.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, it's October. It's the same thing we do every month. We did have October 1st, 2017, the household garbage route was taken away from the Road and Bridge Department, given to the Landfill Department. They are now doing the garbage route, and which they do have a monthly fee of $20 for garbage pickup. Just to put that on record. Also for the record, when Mr. Perez was talking about earlier, about that trash on the parking 755 was picked up last week. The barrel that didn't have a bottom was picked up last week, and we got rid of that. Also, that fence that he was talking about also is going to get repaired by the company that did make the fence. I went out and took pictures also, and I talked to the person that runs the company, and they're going to go repair it.
They're going to go repair all, everything?
Whatever's messed up.
I went to go look at that, the tubing that was used. That tubing is pitted.
Yeah.
It's pitted, so it's old tubing. The galvanized fencing is tacked onto the tubing. There's parts of the tubing that's connected with probably two or three, maybe 10 welds, and the bottom part is...
Yeah, I saw that too.
Okay, there's so many things wrong with that fence. A lot of things wrong. I know we went there, I saw the proposal, the bids. I think there was a difference. We went with them
like
because...
$4,000 or $5,000?
Because of the pipe, he already had that
yeah.
tubing. The pipe. You know, I don't even know. I think some of that pipe has holes right through it.
Yeah, I took pictures of it and I showed it to him. So he's going to go replace it.
He's going to go replace it?
Yes.
Was that pipe being used for because there's, and the reason I'm saying this, commenting on this, is because if that piping was used, that tubing was used for any type of oil field, that might have a thing called MORM. And
yeah.
It might be radioactive.
I worked for 20 years in oil field.
Okay, did we check for that?
No, ma'am.
No.
No.
That's something we need to look into also. Okay. Whenever you have a chance, get out there.
Okay. Also, we went and leveled up a couple of roads, which is 201A. With all this rain that we've been getting, there's been a lot of potholes and stuff. So we did use 60 yards of co-mix there, repaired parts of the road that had problems. Also County Road 211, we used 75 yards of co-mix. That road had a lot of repairs that needed to be made, so we just redid mostly all the road. It stayed pretty good. I didn't bring pictures to show you all. I showed the commissioner precinct two. And everything else is the same thing we do month in, month out.
Questions? No?
No questions.
No questions?
No.
Do I have a motion to approve the monthly report of Foreman? Motion by Vargas, second?
Second.
Second by Olivares, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Judge, on that item that we just you were going to table, we need to go back. I'll go ahead and vote because we do need to get it on the agenda.
Well, we already went through it. We've got to put it back on the other agenda.
Did we vote on it?
On which one?
On the item for the ambulance.
Well, you
tabled it.
Yeah, tabled it, yes.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
As long as we get it on the agenda.
Okay. All right. Line item 9. Approved monthly reports by Brooks County. This should be pursuant. This is a Texas local government code, and I don't know if we have any JPs. Anyone that collects money should be here to present their monies collected. I'm going to ask to pass that. Maybe in the next commissioner's court, they can have some free time and come and present this. Do I have a motion to table?
No. The
line item 9.
9?
Yes, because they're not present and they need to be
motion.
Here. Motion by Garza, second?
Second.
Second by Olivares, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. All right. Approval of auditor's monthly report. Yours. The monthly report.
All right, you all should have that in front of you. I also gave you a couple other things this month. One is the regular audit report with the addendums. One is for the medical review. So you all should have this in front of you. Looks like this. I know the judge got this a couple months ago with me.
Right here.
And then I also got you a copy of the last quarter of the fiscal year for the revenues. So you can review those on your own. I want to go through the regular audit, the first part of the audit report, which is going to be what we usually go through. We see our health use and sales tax, $21,674.48, as Mr. Real alluded to, and I've given you all the breakdown of what we had in the prior months. So we see it kind of stabilizing about $21,000 every month, a stabilization of this. Yes. New employees, we had Rafael Longoria hired as a jailer on 9/23. Gilbert Nevades as a jailer on 9/27. Luis Rodriguez as a jailer on 9/27. Sergio Montalvo as a jailer on 10/2. Enrique Cruz as maintenance hired on 10/2. Vanessa Alaniz, JP3 secretary, hired on 10/2. And Claudia Morales, JP1 secretary, hired on 10/2. And we had Officer Pompa, he was a deputy sheriff, resigned on 10/8. And Valdemar Villarreal from Roden Bridge, of course, resigned on 10/20. Those are the add-ins, new employees and resigned employees. Any questions on that? All right, on the medical report, looks like this again.
It's
right there in front of you?
On your glasses.
Oh, I thought I was looking for a blue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, this is a breakdown of the 12th of medical that we've done for our... The time frames on here. I just want to bring to your attention, I think I have it highlighted in yellow, the bottom, what we contributed. We contributed from October 16 to September 2017, $779,488.64. The total amount of claims we paid, which is the second yellow highlighted to the right, $626,086.49. So if we were self-funded, you could say we could have saved about $153,402.15. So we're giving more than what our claims are. That's just because, and that's been happening within the last 3 years, I believe, 2 years for sure. So that's something I know we need to really think about this coming budget year. Start thinking about coming back to health fund. Now we talked about it during the budget. So I just wanted to show you this is what the numbers were, so y'all can have an idea of what's going on. Any questions on this?
Okay.
That's for our health insurance.
Yeah.
We're having some very good years.
How much would we have to
need? Well, if it was self-funded, we would be saving 153 grand because what?
What if it was more?
Yeah, if it was more, we'd pay more. Yeah, that's an option. So you look at your history, and our history for the last 3 years says that we could have saved about 800 grand.
And the last what?
The last about 3 years, with this year included. So last 2 years plus this year. You know, it's a chance you take. I mean, but, you know, if we have money, which we do, we keep it in reserve. Like David T. had mentioned, we put some of the money that we have in our fund balance into a little, what do we call it, a little jar, you want to say, and keep it there for our health insurance, we're good. I think we're getting to a point, well, I know we are, I don't think, I know we are getting to a point where we're getting to be pretty stabilized as far as the county, our finances. So this is time to really start thinking about self-funding again, if we're getting these types of numbers, you know. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that to your attention, since the only one that saw it was myself and the judge, and I wanted the court to know that also.
I don't know. Hopefully it'll continue, but there was a Senate bill, House Bill, Senate Bill, 1913, that passed, and about indigent, you know, like now with if you are stopped for a traffic fine, I mean for a traffic violation, all you have to say is you're indigent and you don't have to pay. So it's going to kill us.
Yeah.
Senate Bill 1913. It amends up 45.01. Yeah. 041. So I'm sure the JP sent out notices like that. Even with the court, district court, they can say I'm indigent, I cannot pay. And that's it.
I was informed
before
of that.
Before we kind of Monday?
I was informed of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
So, yeah.
Well, there's going to be a protocol. I mean, they're not going to speak. You can't say I'm just indigent and I'll prove it.
After September 1st. Yep. So I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
And then the revenue. I don't really. If I'm going to go through
it. Yeah, go through it.
Okay. All right. On the revenue report. I'm just going to take you to the page one. We have total JPs. I'm just going to give you the totals. We budgeted $460,000. They actually brought in $871,731.57. So they're actually over $411,731.57, which is great. Code enforcement budget $450,000. Actual was $657,103.46 for an overage of $207,103.46. So right there alone, we have $600,000 that we didn't budget that was over. District clerk fees, we budgeted $17,000, brought in $23,333.85, difference of positive $6,333.85. District clerk fines, budget $80,000, brought in $52,897.38, shortcoming of $27,102.62. Client clerk fees. Brought in budget of $44,000, brought in $47,876.83. Difference of $3,876.83 positive. Client clerk fines, budget $7,000. Actual was $10,020 for a positive $3,020. GEO, we budget $330,000. We actually brought in $298,634 for minus $31,366. That had to do with the fact that one of the payments is always going to be later, coming in November. I mean, coming in October, we close September, so that's what that was. If you go to the third page, because the first and two page one and two go together. So if you go to the third page, because three and four go together, our library, we budgeted $1,500. Is everyone with me? Page three?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Okay. Actual was $1,662.06, positive $162.06. The sheriff account, we budgeted $15,000. They brought in $9,492.53, minus $5,507.47. The Sheriff Prisoner Board, budget $16,000, brought in $16,490, plus $490. County Judge, fees of office, budgeted $1,000, brought in $131. -869. County attorney budget $1,000, brought in $350, -650. Constables budgeted $1,500, brought in $2,325 for plus $825. Our taxes current, we budgeted $2,672,744.54, brought in $2,651,937.08 for a minus $20,807.46. So you flip one page, go to the next page, every other page. We have our taxes delinquent. We budget $160,000. We brought in $84,446.28 for a difference of $75,553.72. I know in our budget, because these kind of concern me because that's a lot of money that we budgeted. I know in our budget, we lowered our budget on these two items, this next two. But this is Lineberger. This is everything. I mean, this is them coming in and collecting on our delinquent taxes. So that's something that, you know, I don't know. I know they went through some administration or some through personnel changes and that kind of stuff, right? So these next two is, this deals with what Lineberger is doing for us as Brooks County. Taxes P&I, budget $80,000, actual $69,117.75, difference of $10,882.25. And I would recommend, I would like, maybe Judge, you can ask, or I would like to, maybe on the next Commissioner Court, it's through Terry's office, I know they did it last year, if we can get a list, I don't know what, or maybe she can talk about on her report, list of all the different years of monies that are delinquent. And I think it's on your report, right? And then you all will see, when she comes out, when you all will see how, the different years, how much money is still outstanding in those years. Kind of like one of the biggest things, I know I talked to Noe about this, is that Lineberger likes to get the current stuff without getting the older stuff, correct? We've talked about that on different occasions. So maybe we can sit down and have a good conversation with Lineberger and say, hey, how about these older cases? Because, you know, there's, these are potential monies.
How far back do they go, Lineberger? When you mean current, is just this year?
Yeah.
This year or last year?
Oh, they
year
went before? Back like 10 years.
Okay, how far back does Lineberger go?
This
what's in our system from 96? Okay. Yeah, I can talk. I can talk to Nancy.
Okay. Commercial beer license budgeted. We didn't budget. We brought in $105. Keys of office, $200. Nothing for beer license. Mixed beverage taxes budgeted $3,200. And 2009-6805 for minus 2395, minus 231.95. Titles, budgeted 2,000, actual 3,180, plus 1,180. Commission on auto mail-in fees, budget 7,000, brought in 11,456.95 for a total of 4,456.95 plus. And on the very bottom of this page, you see our total over short with current collections. It's $466,114.25. That's with our taxes and, with current collections. And total over short without current collections, $486,921.71. So we had a very prosperous year in our general fund as far as money coming in, which is due because we lowered our revenues. We didn't over-project. So the lower our revenues, the more money we get, the better it is. Flipping your page. Every other page again, so the second last page. We had our motor vehicles, fees of office, year we budget $250,000. Actual is $243,104.29 for a difference of minus $6,895.71. Our road and bridge taxes current, we budget $505,979.70. Actual is $661,633.51 for a difference of a plus $155,653.81. Taxes delinquent for road and bridge, budget $35,000. Actual is $15,024.44, minus $19,975.56. Taxes P&I, road and bridge, we didn't budget for P&I. Actual, we brought in $12,367.63, so that's 100%. Current taxes, current farm to market, budget $331,469.43. Actual brought in was $431,065.10 for plus $99,595.67. Taxes delinquent, farm to market, $16,000. Budget brought in $9,776.71 for a short of $6,223.29. And of course, P&I farm to market didn't budget, but we brought in $6,609.51. Difference of $6,609.51. Total over short with current collections, $241,132.06. Take out the current collections, and we have a minus $14,117.42 for the road and bridge.
Well, I'm looking at mine on page 3, where it says your budget, $1,000. You all know that I only get $5 for each.
Yeah, we talked about that in the budget.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
What about did the district judge, does he get any?
I believe his ties into Novi's, because he sets the fines. The district judge, when he sets the fines, that goes to your office, correct?
Yeah. All of them?
Yeah, the judge, he don't get nothing.
Okay.
Himself.
No. Anything else? No. When probate comes up here, everything goes to you. When guardianship is sent from county court, huh?
There's.
I know, but sometimes we send them up here. Okay, that's what I want to know. All right. Nothing else? It doesn't get anything? Okay, good. Any questions? Is that all of it?
That's it for the
Do you have a motion to approve?
Right
here. Motion by Vargas, second?
Second.
Second by Olivares and Garza, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm
sorry?
And Olivares.
Two and three.
Olivares and Garza. All in favor?
Yes.
All in favor? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Did I already have? Okay, where are you at? We are.
Bills?
Okay.
Bills?
Number 4. Approve of bills and claims and payroll.
All right, y'all should have the bills in front of you. We had a lot of bills. I want to bring your attention to a couple of these on page 2. A couple of the bigger ones. Number 2 in the bottom, Christus Spahn Hospital, Claybrook. We have a cumulative bills of $24,303.76. These are some bills that were prisoner. We had some issue with a prisoner. An issue with a prisoner, and he had to go to the hospital, and can't get into details about that, but he was indigent, so we had to pay for those. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. So that's one of the bills that was brought to us, and then you go out through here, and there's some more on page number 5. Medi-Impact Healthcare Systems, we have a cumulative amount of $5,016.78. Again, indigent stuff. A lot of this is indigent-related issues that we got some bills in from Bobby, and we're paying them out.
Is that $24,004?
It's for an inmate, for a procedure. I don't know if I can get you more detail than that. I'm just going to say that.
Right.
So,
sorry.
I don't know, HIPAA and that kind of stuff. So, but bring your attention to the last page. Fund 12, we had a total of $89,433.66, which includes that $25,000, I think it was $24,000. Road and Bridge, $17,095.57 for a total funds of $108,894.97.
I have a question. Everest Water.
Everest Water.
Mm-hmm. On page 3.
Okay.
Yeah, 3.
What about it?
Who is that for?
That is whoever, I guess these guys, they have Everest Water here, the jury room.
Is that for the jury or?
Well, that's one of them.
And this comes out of?
That's 409, miscellaneous fund. And then there's an Everest Water, where's the other, I don't know. So I talked to my office, Everest, there's one here. I know the one at my building. The ladies pay for it themselves.
So we have one here or where else?
Yeah, we have one here. You remember?
JP's building? Yeah, the JP's over there?
Okay.
The JP's were there? Because there's something on here. I mean, I can get you the answer and call the office and find out exactly.
Would that be considered personal?
No, because it's...
No?
Because of the fountain? I mean, you can drink from the fountain?
I drink from the fountain.
I have no problem.
Yeah, I drink.
I have no problem.
If you're thirsty, you'll drink from a hose.
Yeah, because you got some bad lines, and that's why, you know, they're drinking water. I have no problem with water. I think it's a universal thing. It's not what you call a specialty item. It's an actual thing you need. So I have no problem with that.
But we have running water, right? Everywhere.
I don't know. Well, I would imagine we do, but how good is the water?
So that is not personal use, is what I'm saying.
No.
Stir sticks.
Stir sticks are.
How? What's the difference?
Because you're using it for what? Water?
Como?
You're going to use it for water?
No, I'm using it for the coffee for the public.
Okay, well, you're buying your own coffee.
So the public doesn't drink this water.
I don't know if they drink this water. I'm pretty sure
everyone drinks this water. Everyone drinks this water, and everywhere else, also the employees. So that's personal.
It's not personal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think water. That's fine. You can. I mean, you want to.
Can I get one for my office?
One
Everest.
Work. Why would you get one if you have one up here already?
It's easier not.
You want to easier you? Oh, I see. No.
For the public.
No, because you said it was for you. It was easier for you.
No.
Maybe we can put one
for
downstairs
the for the public. But,
and maybe
the
in
public.
The hallway.
Why don't we just take them all off?
Exactly.
I have a problem with it. I have no problem with taking the water off
it
at all.
It would be better. Well, that's
I mean, I don't even, I mean, my, the people in my office, we pay for the water. Everest comes in and they pay it out of their own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem taking the water off. Trust me.
We should.
I mean, I think they would need it here because if jury, they need water.
How often does a jury meet? Huh?
Once a month.
How often do they fill up those tanks? Does anybody know the water jugs? For the jury? You see? So it's personal, right? Everybody drinks water. I think we should do away with that.
I have no problem paying for it or not paying for it. I don't think it's a specialty item or commodity.
So. I buy water.
Can we just move on already? I'm tired of hearing the same thing already.
Well, it's okay, but wait, I'm not going to discuss
it. It's just ridiculous already.
Well, that's right.
You're bickering about stupid
well,
stuff.
Well, I'm asking him.
No, you're not bickering about stupid stuff.
Sir, I'm sorry, but I have every
that's
right to ask.
That's
what
you're doing. Well, the instrument?
Well,
move
then,
on.
Sir, you can, if you don't like it,
man.
If you don't like it, sir, I'm sorry.
I don't like it.
Well, you have an option.
Ridiculous.
There's three exits, one over there and two over here, if you don't want to hear it. Anyway, I think we should get rid of it and move on. Any questions?
Yeah.
Nope. We have a motion to approve.
Motion
by Gantz. A second?
Okay.
Who? Did you second it? You did?
No.
Vargas. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved.
Mm-hmm.
Approved tax assessor collector's chief deputy monthly report.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm going to go ahead and do the motor vehicle report first since we have 2 months, September and October. For the month of September, we had a total for the for the road and bridge, we had $11,855.01. And for the general fund fees, we had $1,083.05. And we had, for our child safety fund, we had $484.50. For a total of $13,422.56. Our titles for the month of September were a total of $155. For a total remittance of $13,577.56. For the month of October, for the road and bridge, we had $11,893.54. For the fees of office, $991. And for child safety fund, we had $471. For a grand total of $13,355.54. Our titles for the month of October were $170 for a total county remittance of $13,525.54. Any questions on those?
No, ma'am. Good job. Do you have a motion to approve?
Oh, one more. Okay, this is our monthly dispersed totals for the month of October. For our total county road and bridge, we had $1,357,378.96. Our farm-to-market remittance was $134,081.16. Our attorney fees for the county was $3,223.59. Our interest for the month was $256.90. We had one tax certificate. And I went ahead and wrote on, inputted on here our supplement refunds for the month. We did have two taxpayers that had a homestead added, so we did have to reimburse them back, which was $573.10. The second one was $503.54, and we did have a veteran change. That was a big refund that we had. He went from partial exemption to 100% exemption. So this was for the year 2016. So he got back $3,133.43. And that total was $4,210.07. And I went ahead and included on here the three top 10 taxpayers that did pay during October, which was our number six, EOG Resources Incorporated Mineral Accounts, our number nine, Hughes Dan A Company LP, our number 10, King Ranch Incorporated, and our total county remittance is $1,491,460.12. Any questions on that one? Okay, and then the second report is our, of course, it's a yearly report. I usually just give the current. So right now we are at 30% collection. We collected, of course, in the general fund $1,166,116.58. Our balance is $2,655,643.27. If you do look at the years back, it's showing 1626. I do have a correction on what I mentioned earlier. We do go back as far as, I believe, 88 in our tax system. So it goes back from 16 to 1988, I believe. I think on the bottom where it has the asterisk, it just cuts it off there, but there is more years, which I think is why in 96 it's listed so high as far as the taxes due, because I think it's totaling it on that 1 year. I could double check, though, with our software company. But this is the percentage of everything that is owed every year. I know right now our attorneys do send out quarterly statements by law, and I know that one just went out, so we've been getting a lot of phone calls in because it's a notice of intent to sue. So we've been getting a lot of customers calling to make payment arrangements, and we do have an actual written agreement that we do now with customers, and we do have some people that are loyal to it. We do have some that have already defaulted, which we are sending letters to them to let them know they have defaulted. We are offering a second chance. Once they default the first time, once that second default has happened, that's it. We're not going to give them a third chance. So good. That's where we're at right now. Okay. And if you all do want, I know Linebarger came, I don't know if it was last year or the prior, they do a report. I know they just did one for the city as far as their collections for them. I know they can come again and do that if that's what you all want to see as far as the delinquent collections.
Sure. Wouldn't hurt.
Any other questions?
Any questions? Do you have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Motion by Garza, second.
Second.
Second by Olivares and Vargas. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think I have one in the back. Okay, line item 14. Discussion on Stone Garden Grant.
All right, we did an audit on the Stone Garden Grant. And I wanted to elaborate on the outcome of the audit. I want to turn your attention to the second page. It should look like this. as circled. We found out during the audit that there was hours that the Sheriff's Department were using through Stone Garden that were not being submitted to the state for reimbursement. And I found it out because one day I was going through the cash position in that account and saying, why is it so low? So when I did initial inquiry, I talked to George and I was talking to Lenani and finding out, well, did we submit all the stuff we submitted? And they went through and did some research. I had my office do some research, and we found out that there were some hours and some time not submitted. So I want to read the report from this. Is, and I talked to the state. This is Debbie Jackman. She's the one that handles it from the state side. She was August a few weeks ago. You requested that Brooks County be reimbursed for Operation Stone Garden overtime not previously claimed for pay periods ending 6/25/16 through 9/24/16. These dates fall within the performance period of Operation Stone Garden 215 grant. 3221001, which has closed. During the months the overtime was worked, these hours were not submitted to the Office of the Governor for reimbursement. And daily activity reports, dollars were not submitted to the Border Patrol. After analyzing the data, OOG has determined that the county cannot be reimbursed for these funds, primarily because the overtime operations were not coordinated with Border Patrol. The overtime was self-deployed by the county and cannot be considered valid Operation Stone Garden operations. Totals for June through September 16, 907 overtime hours, $17,920.09 overtime dollars, $20,602.73 for overtime plus fringe costs. Overtime is slightly higher than the numbers you provided, $17,596.29. OOG will allow the county to request reimbursement for pay periods 2/4/17, 178 hours for $3,741.69. Overtime accumulation would be $4,291.34. That's with fringes and 5/6/17, 66 hours, $1,491.76 overtime, $1,710.90 overtime plus fringes. On Operation Stone Garden 2016 grant, 3221002, since these hours were not previously requested and they are within the performance periods of the grant. So with that in mind, I'm not going to read the letter I sent. Y'all have the letter in front of you. I sent this letter to the sheriff, letting him know that according to myself and the records of the OOG, we only have $604 left of all Stone Garden monies to be utilized, that we will not be paying anything out of Stone Garden besides that because we did not budget any other monies besides what was supposed to be allocated from Stone Garden itself. 2015, the judge, Imelda and myself, met with the Sheriff Ray Rodriguez at the time and Chief Benny Martinez about some issues with Stone Garden because they were not having enough money for Stone Garden to use. They sat and talked to us here in the courtroom. We had this conversation, and then I said, well, there's some money here in the Homeland Security. We can let them use to circulate, all right, not to spend, all right, to circulate so they continue having it for future Stone Garden grants. And that was okay. The judge agreed to that. We agreed it. I think even when, I'm not sure if it went on the agenda. I know we talked about it. Had no problem with that. And then to find out, you know, here 2 years later that some of these monies that we allocated to that are allocated in this fund were being used, not being reimbursed. And the whole idea behind this premise is that, you know, Stone Garden is a reimbursement grant, so we pay up front and we get reimbursed. So it shouldn't be an expense to the county. But if we don't seek reimbursement, it becomes an expense to the county, and that was not budgeted. So that's when I come into play and say, hey, this was not budgeted money at all, and we're spending it. I talked to the sheriff yesterday. We did find out different ways to audit this differently, so this would not transpire in the future. Thanks for my conversation. He was okay with it. I'm okay with it. There's things in my office I'm going to do differently as far as auditing payroll, because this goes through payroll. So when they submit these timesheets to payroll, we're going to audit them and look back at our numbers and say, well, this is how much you have and this is what you don't have. Then I found out, I also gave you a third piece of paper. I don't know if it was the judge or the sheriff. I was given this since I do the grant. Submit the payments. It says here, your agency was approved to receive an additional $39,978.83 from Stark County to keep working operations. Stark County Sheriff's Office is moving out overtime and fringe over to Brooks County Sheriff's Office, overtime and fringe. So the total has been increased to $119,978.83. We already spent the $80,000, so 80 plus the 39 is that. So when that gets finalized in system, they will be able to utilize that $39,000 in overtime monies through the state. So I just wanted to bring this to the court's attention since we finished this audit for these years. Let the court know that this had transpired and we have already found solutions to fix it and to move forward. Any questions?
I believe that, what was the first concern you had on this, the letter?
The letter from the...
By the way, the letter you just sent me already didn't even acknowledge it, right?
Oh, I know you haven't. You haven't gotten back to me?
No. I just read it.
Did you? That's fine. That's your prerogative.
Anyway, the Stone Garden were fine. The issue with Stone Garden...
Sure, I can hear you.
It was just a...
I think it's been addressed on that issue. Those monies have been made up. I think the main issue here is the fact that he's trying to collect some monies that he filtered from what island was it?
From the money that we gave y'all to use to circulate to use on government.
Okay, but I don't believe those monies went through Commissioner's Court. They didn't. So in visiting with the auditor himself, said it really, what should have happened, it should have filtered through Commissioner's Court and then earmarked that for specific items to be utilized as. And those monies were used for overtime monies. The patrol guys work as the investigators do. As you well know, I'm pretty demanding on what they need to do and we're gonna get the work done and those monies were utilized as such. I believe when this issue first was brought up to my attention, it was more of a, a demanding phase coming from the auditor's office that he wanted the money back. And that's really why I didn't pay attention to it. There's a lot of ways to get things done in the normal fashion without having to get argumentative about an issue. After all, this is a county. We do work for the county. We work for everyone. I believe that the county does his job on auditing, make sure the monies are there. We do have monies to work. We have monies to operate. We're in close contact with Border Patrol as well as the Stone Garden operations with DEPI. So this is just an issue that became an individual issue because we're not going to reimburse them back to, what is it, $17,000 that we owe you, August? No. Well, that's not what you said the other day when you called the office, that you demanded the money back. So I'm trying to figure out what the money...
I'd like to hear that conversation that you have recorded.
Yeah, we did.
I'd like to hear it.
Okay.
It'd be nice to hear that.
You said you wanted your money back. So I'm trying to figure out what monies that is. But I think the remedy is this. He does his part as an auditor, and that's what he does. He's an auditor. That's all he does. He doesn't run no one else's department. He doesn't run no one else's offices. He's an auditor. The monies are there to work with. That's the bottom line, okay? Now, we're in close contact with DPS personnel. I mean, after all, as y'all well know, and I spent 29 years with them, and I have pretty good accountability with DPS. Those are the ones that run the grants, as well as Border Patrol. So the fact that it came across that we misappropriated funds, that's unacceptable. That's not gonna happen. And I'm not gonna let no one accuse my personnel of misappropriation of any type of funds. That ain't gonna happen. And it hasn't happened because we accounted for those monies. So I just really don't know what the issue is here. Just the fact that it got spent correctly.
The issue, I guess he didn't hear it back then. The issue is that the money was spent without seeking reimbursement, was not allocated in the budget for that. That's the issue. So the thing was, and this is not for me, this is from the state. So whether the sheriff says that or not is irrelevant. The state has clarified that.
Okay, so back in 16, when they're stating that the overtime was not claimed, usually they're, the federal people are really good about, catching this. I don't...
Yeah, but they don't know, Judge, if, They don't know if his office is working the Stone Garden for that month.
No. But you have, I mean, they send you the money, and here you have to be accountable.
You have to pay, we have to pay the money first out of our pocket.
Right. But they will not reimburse you without the correct paperwork.
That's not, you're not understanding the issue then.
Let me see.
The issue is that.
Get the money back.
They didn't do that.
So why did you all do that?
So they work the hours without submitting it to the report.
I understand that.
It just wasn't done, and it's been addressed.
Okay,
period.
That's the problem.
I don't know.
I mean, why did you all do the reports to get the money back?
It wasn't done. That's all it was to
so
it.
So that's the problem.
Yes.
Okay, so are you all going to do the reports?
Yes, it got addressed.
Okay, then what's the problem?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand, because that's my audit. I reported it, so the sheriff doesn't think that's irrelevant, don't think it's relevant, which that's fine, that's his prerogative, but that was the whole issue. It was that they were working hours and they were not reporting the hours to seek reimbursement. So if they're not reporting hours to seek reimbursement, then it's coming out of the county funds, and that's not what was appropriate in the budget. It's very simple.
I think it's also simple that the sheriff and I went out and got a loan for $60,000, y'all recall that, to start this, and no one really assisted us on that. We did it because we had to. I don't think August was the auditor back then, okay? But we did that. It's also not significant, the fact that we have already provided over $100,000 for the county, $30,000 for just air conditions that we paid out of funds from federal funds, right? So issues like that, you give and take. That's the way the county works, okay? So, and he understands this, right?
And I'm saying this. Maybe the sheriff got wrong beef on or something.
No.
I did an audit, and my job as the auditor says to bring the audit to the court when it's finished. It's nothing personal. I mean, I know the sheriff has worked with those air conditions. I know different things. It's true. I have no problem with that. But I know the court has also worked with the sheriff's office when we relinquished that debt that the sheriff's office owed the county for $131,000, which was 2 years ago. So, you know what? It gives and takes. But I'm not here to crucify him. I'm just here saying I'm done with the audit. By law, I have to submit it. It's very simple. So I just wanted to say this and move on. That's it.
It's all about approach. It's not what you say, it's how you say it.
And a lot of it is the fact that it got addressed and it was not misappropriated. It's bottom line. So.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure being short staffed has a lot to do with not being able to complete reports on time. You know, I know that you have to submit for hours to get reimbursed. He's also done, you know, the repeater grant money. You know, we had about $10,000-$12,000 over, you know, that should have been coming out from our department or the county itself, the general fund. But he took that upon himself so that, you know, better communications can be, over there in Southern Brooks County. There's a lot of things, give and take. And I think that, you know, it's not mine, it's not yours. It's ours. It's ours. And, you know, I'm reading this letter and I'm seeing it says, these monies were spent without the approval of Commissioner's Court. The understatement of the year, everything is done without, a lot of things, not everything, a lot of things are done without Commissioner's Court approval. So we really need to improve on that. But for what he's given us, the sheriff, I don't think, you know, whatever amount is owed, we shouldn't get to that point.
Again, my main point and focus was very simple. Finish the audit, talk about the audit, and say, remedy it, and we move on. So I don't know what the...
I really think it can be, you know, rectified if we just do everything that should be done, which is bring everything to Commissioner's Court, period.
Exactly.
Right? And you earmark it for whatever monies is going to be spent. I don't have a problem with that. I'm very transparent. Okay? It's, you know, I still remember the days that I had to do the affidavit for $34 to account for my credit card. Yet $20,000 wasn't accounted for. See, little things like that. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's move on. Right?
Yeah,
but nothing personal.
Yeah, everything. It's like the van.
Let's
go back to borrowing of the van. That was personal.
Everything needs to go to Commissioner's Court, right? If we just start now, we're fine. I believe that's what we're going to work on, correct?
I think the fact is,
You know what? Because I asked myself this question. I said, hey, August, how come we didn't catch this back in when it occurred? Well, we didn't catch it because we were auditing everything else that hadn't been audited. And so when I looked through it, I said, well, there's an issue. So it red flagged me, so I audited it. So I can't audit everything at one time when I'm not Superman. But when we find it, we correct it, and we go through it.
Boy, August, you're not Superman.
No, I'm not.
There's only one Superman. There's only one Superman.
Yeah, but the thing was, Judge, I mean, I don't, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know what, I'll be honest with you. I'll be very honest with you. It seems like, no, you're...
So you haven't been telling us the truth?
No, I'm going to be honest with you with this situation right now.
I
always tell you the truth. I have no reason to lie to you. You know, you talk about situations, you know, you bring up the van. You roll your eyes when you read the thing, well, 20,000. You talk about an issue where it's 20,000 August and you're worried about $3. You know, I'm worried about a penny. All right? That's my job.
Me too.
Okay?
That's my job.
That's what I should do. You know, and you should be happy that you have an auditor that looks into everything and comes and says, you know, hey, this is an issue. Because since I've been there, we've uncovered things that were not uncovered. So you should be happy with that. Instead of being sarcastically with your facial expressions and saying things like that, you should be appreciative. Everyone else, Judge, you come up and you say, hey, thank you. Good job, so-and-so. Good job, so-and-so. But when it comes to Office Patrolling, which I think we're doing a great, outstanding job, you know what, and I don't need your appreciation, but it's just kind of funny how you sort it out like that. So, you know, for us to work together, it takes both sides.
Let me tell you, August, sometimes you pick and choose. And you know that. You know that, sir. Don't stand there and say, I roll my eyes, I do this. Because you know what? All this court does the same thing while we're conducting court. They're over here talking to you. They're doing, you know, it's always something. So, no, sir, for you to say that you're honest, no. We can go back to a lot of things and say, we got to be fair. If you're going to be fair with one, you have to be fair, equal to everyone. You just can't say, okay, well, he's doing this and she's doing that. Everyone, because you too, sir, have done other things that were not approved by Commissioner's Court. They were on your approval because we have it in the budget when it comes to that. That's what you say. Now, let's go back to the vans. When you borrowed those vans or when they loaned you the vans, you knew that that was not correct. And nowhere did you say that it was only one van. It was that one van. He said, actually, it was two altogether. If we want to be truthful, let's be truthful. Bring it to Commissioner's Court, sir. You stood there and you said, this wasn't August Petroli, the auditor, asking for the vans. This was Pastor Petroli. Well, no, you're an appointed official. You're auditor Petroli all the time. All the time. Because you're not a county employee, but yet you do receive county compensation for everything. Those two vans were borrowed. We stood here and we talked about it. And not once did you share that Dodge Caravan was taken from the fire department. So no, we're going to be equal. We're going to be fair. We have to do it across the board.
What's your point? And I guess I think so. Well, we were all day doing this back and forth.
Well, I'm just letting you know that you can't say that you've been honest.
Well, that's in the eye of the beholder, and that's your beholder.
Well, no, that's the eye of the taxpayers.
I doubt that. Okay. I can bring you a lot of taxpayers who would totally disagree with you. But that's irrelevant.
Well,
all I'm saying is, well, I did this. I did my job. I have no problem with the sheriff. I like Benny. All right? Simple as that. We work along and we get through. He does stuff for the county that goes above and beyond. And it's true. Mm-hmm. I know that. You know what? And as simple as that. I'm kind of surprised you took my letter and ripped it up, but that's just, or shredded it. But that's what it is. But we'll go forward. But this is my audit. This is what transpired. This is how we're fixing it. That's all I can tell you.
Good job, audit, August.
It's just a discussion.
Okay. All right, we did all those? All right. Line item 10. Discussion and possible approval on the budget line items, end of the year adjustment 1 through 41. And I hope you all looked at all of them.
You sure did.
Any corrections?
Any corrections that we have to correct? Okay. If you all look through all of them, do I have a motion to approve line item 10, 1 through 41 under the consent agenda? I need a motion.
Motion to approve year-end.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
Second.
Second by Olivares. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion approved. Did I go through everything? Okay. Line item 23. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Do we skip one?
Huh? Motion.
Did I go through everything? Motion by Olivares. Second?
Second.
Second by Garza. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approved. Thank you all.
We need to